Thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avinay Craig speaking, and we welcome you, trusting that you'll stay with us, trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of presenting your gospel to this precious people today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us as instruments in your hands to be a blessing to our congregation. We are truly thankful for each one who is in our congregation today, and we're praying the blessings of Almighty God to be upon them. Doubtless there are those who are suffering in body. There are those who are going through trials and tests. Whatever their needs might be, we're asking you to minister to them. For you have told us in your word that we should cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once like a bird in prison,
our subject for today's broadcast, Why the Early Church Had Power. I'll read from the first chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which are in the Father's hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, which they, while they beheld, he was taken up out, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood with them, and with them in the white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's reading down from verse 1 through verse 14. The morning church was powerful in its infancy. The spirit of indifference and unconcern was not known among this church. They were zealous and determined to carry out the Lord's will. The freshness of the resurrection was evident in every aspect of their lives and preaching. They were in fellowship with the risen Lord. The resurrected Lord was with them for 40 days before he returned to the Father. Then he was with them through the Spirit. The same empowering Holy Spirit that they had is ours today. He is here for anyone who meets the requirements for receiving him. And of course, there are requirements to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, just like there are requirements for a sinner to receive forgiveness of their sins. Jesus said in our text, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." How can we have fellowship with the Lord? We must know him as our own personal Savior. Each one of these that we have just read about, that were there in the upper room, they personally knew him, and they were in a position for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. A sad truth today is that many professed Christians do not really know the Lord personally. You cannot possibly have a living relationship with the Lord without salvation. John spoke of a know-soul experience when he said, "Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." That's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. We must have fellowship in the ministry of Christ. Remember, fellowship means, in part, having the same interests. So we must have fellowship with Christ in his ministry. We must have an interest in the preaching of the gospel, for it pleased God to save the lost through the foolishness of preaching and also teaching the saved. We must also fellowship his suffering. Paul speaks of knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. We will not know this by being at ease in Zion or being lukewarm. Remember, the power of the early church was in their fellowship with the risen Lord, and their interest was in his cause. He had told them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." In another passage of Scripture it says, he commissioned them to go and to teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now they were obedient to this risen Lord. Christ commanded them, I say, to wait for the promise of the Father, so they waited. When they returned to Jerusalem, they did not talk of how they could organize some big tent campaign or some big stadium campaign. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Repeating verse 14 of our text today. Obedience is not a popular word among many in our society today. But if we are to succeed in our work for the Lord, we must obey Him. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And Jesus said, if we do love Him, then we will keep His commandments. The wise man said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Hear His commandments and keep them. Yes, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And James the Apostle said, let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. The early morning church was obedient to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed and waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The same precious Spirit is needed to work in and through the church today. Yes, there is one body and there is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the one body, of course, is the body of Christ. And wherever you find the body of Christ, you'll find the one Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, that would give us power. Power to carry out His commands. Power to preach the gospel. Power to see the sick healed. See devils cast out. And see the Lord's work prosper in the earth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not lost any of His power. He told the disciples shortly before He returned to the Father, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Christ is the head of the church, and the government of the church is upon Him, and He has a right to tell us what to do. God sets the members in the body as it pleaseth Him. And Christ, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So they prayed and waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the same precious Holy Spirit is still in the body of Christ today. They waited until the Spirit of the risen Lord came upon them, and they gave heed to what He did, what He taught them. Jesus had said, there are certain things that you are not ready to receive, but whenever the Spirit has come, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He shall take the things which I have spoken unto you and reveal them unto you. And so, whenever the Holy Spirit came on them and came in them, He not only gave them power, but He taught them, He enlightened them in things that Jesus had taught them, but they had not fully understood. We cannot say they didn't have any problems, no. That sometimes I think the early morning church is set up too high on a pedestal. They had problems, of course they did. If you'll read the first book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find out that they had various problems. They had a party spirit working there among them. And Paul said, is Christ divided? Did John or did Paul do this? Or did Cephas do this for you or that? No. Jesus Christ is the one that gave His life, shed His blood to purchase the church. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church, I say, and the government is upon Him. And Paul asked them, is Christ divided? No. He told them in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 that they should there be no division among them, that they should all speak the same thing. And so we cannot put them up on too high a pedestal, although I believe it was the most glorious period of the church's history was the early morning time, but they had problems, but they dealt with them in a proper way. And that's one thing that is lacking among some professed Christians today. They don't seem to know how or are not willing to solve problems that are bound to arise. But they will arise, and Satan will use them to divide and to scatter and to weaken the church if he is allowed to do so. But I do think that overall they were in one accord, and various verses in the book of Acts speak of the church being in one accord. They were all working for the same cause. One of the evidences of this accord was their prayer life. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. You know, James had already been beheaded, and they saw that it pleased the people, and so he arrested Peter and put him in prison, was going to have him beheaded also after the day of Pentecost. But the church was praying. They were at Mark's mother's house, and they were praying there in one accord, and they prayed for the deliverance of Peter, and they saw an answer to their prayer. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you know, if you are familiar with this part of the scriptures, how an angel came and awoke Peter and told him to arise, and the chains fell off of him. And when they got to the iron gate, it opened of its own self. And when Peter got out on the street and realized that he was not dreaming, he went to Mary's house. There he found the disciples praying, and they could hardly believe their eyes. I'm not saying there weren't those there that believed for Peter's deliverance, but I think some of them were surprised as to how it came about. But the Lord answered their prayers, and Peter was indeed free because they had unity in prayer. Now we need to pray for the salvation of souls, praying for God's ordained ministers, praying for the sick and the suffering, praying for one another, bearing one another's burdens, praying for the gifts of the Spirit, praying for the Holy Spirit to have freedom to work in and through his people yet today. The saints of the early church believed the word of God. When Peter stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, he boldly declared these to the people the truth of the gospel. And he told the multitude, "These men are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That's Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He also told them how that with their wicked hands they had crucified the Christ of glory, but how God had raised him from the dead. And Peter spoke with such power that 3,000 souls were converted on that day. A little later, Peter and John was going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there sat a lame man at the gate, beautiful, begging. And Peter said, "Look on us." And the man, expecting a gift, heard Peter say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And he said to the man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man seemingly didn't know what Peter was talking about, so Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was miraculously healed, and he leaped and walked and praised Almighty God. The multitude of the people that saw this marveled, and they thought that Peter had done something of himself. But Peter said, whether it be right in whenever they were questioned about what they had done, They said it was in the name of Jesus Christ, and another 5,000 souls were saved. And the leaders there in Jerusalem called Peter and John and questioned them as to why and how they were doing this, and forbid them to speak in the name of Christ anymore. And whether, Peter said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 4:19-20. So they boldly preached the word of God, and the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord confirming the word with signs following. Today we have many preachers in the country who are not really preaching the word of God. They are preaching smooth things to those who have itching ears. That does not offer or offend any of them, but it does not offer them true salvation either. God has given us His Word to live by. We are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. The gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Romans 1:16. The early church had power because they had a living daily relationship with the risen Lord. They were obedient to Him because they knew He was the true and living God. They knew without Him they could do nothing. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these scriptures and these thoughts to our precious congregation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We would be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that it's a blessing to you. Now, our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, and our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. We would be thankful if you would let us know that our broadcast is a blessing to you. And now this is Alvin A. Craig asking you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, God bless you.